Okay, today, Baz Hashem, we're going to conclude Mesachas Ksubos and begin Mesachas Nedarim. We are up to Ksubos Perek Yud Gimel, Mishnah Yud Aleph. So we already said that a husband is not allowed to make his wife move from one place to another, from one area to another. So the Mishnah is going to tell us that it's different when you're moving to or from Eretz Yisrael, or when you're moving to and from a place within Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim, meaning whenever you're going to a place that's inherently more holy, like Eretz Yisrael or Yerushalayim, so the rules are a little bit different. So I call in Eretz Yisrael. A person can make every member of his family go to live in Eretz Yisrael. Not family, every member of his household. He can't make his second cousins go. So if a father or mother wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, they can insist that the whole household, their spouse, their children who still live in their house, even their Eved Ivri can go along with them. And that means even if you're going from a very comfortable neighborhood to a less comfortable neighborhood, or even from a city that has a lot of Jewish people to a place in Eretz Yisrael that does not have a lot of Jewish people. And this is all on account of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, right? This is why all of the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael sugyas, all of the Eretz Yisrael sugyas in general, appear here at the very end of Maseches Ksubos, because it's from this Mishnah. Ve'ena kol motzin, a person cannot make any of his family members leave Eretz Yisrael. Hakol mal Yerushalayim, a person can make all the members of his family go to Yerushalayim. Ve'ena kol motzin, because again, Kedushas Yerushalayim is greater than the Kedusha of the rest of Eretz Yisrael. We know that there are Eser Kedushas, 10 different levels of Kedusha, and Yerushalayim is a greater level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So if a person wants to live a holier life, he can force his family to come with him. And again, that means even if you're going from a nicer area to a less nice area, from a more Jewish area to a less Jewish area, but you could be Malil Yerushalayim, you just can't be Motzi. Echad ha'anoshim ve'echad anoshim, and this is true for men and women, meaning whether it's the father of the family or the mother of the family, they can force the rest of the family to move to Eretz Yisrael, or to move with them, excuse me, to Yerushalayim. If the woman doesn't want to go, so then the husband could give her a get, and he will not have to pay her ksuba. If a man doesn't want to go, so she can force him to give her a get and to pay her ksuba, meaning whichever one doesn't want to go is assumed to be the one that is ruining the marriage. Now, we said a lot of times in this Masechta that a ksuba is 200 zuz for a besula, 100 zuz for an almana. So the Mishnah tells us which currency you pay the ksuba in if the marriage started in Eretz Yisrael and ended outside of Eretz Yisrael. So nasi isha b'Eretz Yisrael, the ger shab Eretz Yisrael. If a man married a woman in Eretz Yisrael and he divorced her in Eretz Yisrael, nosi l'mimolus Eretz Yisrael. So he pays her using Eretz Yisrael dika money. He pays her using the money of Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about a ksuba that says 200 or 100 zuz, but it doesn't say what kind of currency it is. So the Mishnah tells us that if the husband and the wife were from some other country and they never lived in Eretz Yisrael, so obviously you're going to pay in the currency of Eretz Yisrael, because that's where they got married, that's where they got divorced, so that's obviously the language that they're talking, that's the money that they're referring to. But nasi isha be'Eretz Yisrael, the girsha be'kaputkia, if a man marries a woman in Eretz Yisrael and he divorces her in kaputkia, so kaputkia is it's referred to in the Torah as, the Bar Tanura points out, as kaftor, it's a place that's close to Eretz Yisrael. So nos in the Maus Eretz Yisrael, then he pays her with the money of Eretz Yisrael, which is less valuable than the Maus Kaputkia, because the Chiv Ksuba took effect in Eretz Yisrael. Apparently the Maus Kaputkia were bigger coins and heavier coins than the Eretz Yisrael coins, the Bar Tanura points out. So Kaputkia Zuz was worth more because it had more metal in it. Nasi Isha Bekaputkia Vigirsha Eretz Yisrael, if a man marries a woman in Kaputkia and divorces her in Eretz Yisrael, Nosilam Eretz Yisrael, then he's going to pay her with the money of Eretz Yisrael, even though the marriage happened in Kaputkia, but the Chiyuv Ksub is only mit Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan were makil to allow him to pay with the less valuable currency. So it goes in his favor in both directions. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Nosilam Mos Kaputkia. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, if the marriage happened in Kaputkia, you got to pay with Kaputkia money, because the Chiyuv Ksuba, according to Rishon Gamliel, is da'oraisa. This is a machlokas that comes up in several places, whether ksuba da'oraisa or ksuba da'rabanan. It's a machlokas tanoim, it's a machlokas amoroim, it's a machlokas rishonim. Right, so he pays her with the more expensive money. So it's not the more not always the more expensive, but he pays her with the money of where the contract happened. Which in this case, the contract happened in the Kaputkia because he married her in Kaputkia. So where there's a case where both the Tanakama and Rav Shmuel Gamliel agree, and that is as follows: Nasi Isha v'Gersha b'Kaputkia, Nasi Isha b'Kaputkia v'Gersha b'Kaputkia. Certainly, if he marries a woman in Kaputkia and divorces her in Kaputkia, then obviously he pays with money of Kaputkia. That even if the husband was from Eretz Yisrael, he has to pay the ksuba with the Kaputkia coins because that's where they live their life. It doesn't matter that he's Israeli. Meaning, sometimes people think, you know, if I was born in Israel, that means that I'm, you know, that I have all the dinim of a Ben Eretz Yisrael, even though they live their entire life in Chutz La'aretz. They're keeping one day yantiv. That's not true, obviously. If you move to Chutz La'aretz and you live in Chutz La'aretz and you get married in Chutz La'aretz and you get divorced in Chutz La'aretz, so everything is going to have a din of Chutz La'aretz. So that brings us to the end of Maseches Ksubos. So now we begin. Now we begin Be'ezras Hashem Maseches Nedarim. So I don't have my Nedarim with me. So one second, let me go on my. Let me find Maseches Nedarim. Sorry, bear with me. Nedarim. Okay, there we go. So now, Maseches Nedarim. Sorry about that. So Maseches Nedarim. A neder is, to just give a little bit of a background, a neder is a verbal commitment or a verbal statement where you make something asr to either you or to other people. It doesn't have to be to you. You could take a neder that asrs something on other people as well. So there are two ways that a neder can be, that a person can express a neder. A person could say that that it's asr, that this bread is asr for me, for example. Or he can link it to something else, that it's like a korban to me. And when you say that it's like a korban to you, so that's a way of saying that it's usher to you like a korban. Now, that only works if the thing that's forbidden is linked to something that was previously permitted and became usher through your own declaration. So korban is an example of that, because an animal becomes a korban only when you declare it to be a korban. So when you say this bread is like a korban, that's a valid neder. But if you say this bread is like a pig to me, well, a pig was never mutter to you, and that would not be a valid tfisa in the neder. So in order to be effective, the words have to meet certain conditions in terms of the way they are formulated. So the Mishnah is going to tell us the halacha where someone replaced a key word in a neder with a word that means the same, but something not quite as clear. So once the Mishnah talks about the use of other words of Nedarim, it talks about the using substitute words in other types of halachic statements. Kol kinui Nedarim ka Nedarim. All substitute words in Nedarim are just as effective as the actual words of the Nedarim are supposed to be. The next Mishnah will go through some of those substitute words, like konam, konach, konas. So if we say that this item is a konam to me, so that's a valid form of neder. The charamim kacharamim, and all substitute words of charamim are just as effective as the basic terms for a cherim. Meaning, you could donate something to the Beis Hamikdash by saying that this item is a cherim, and therefore it becomes holy, and you're not allowed to get any personal hana from it. So just like a karban, something that's made a cherim is something that itself became usher through your statement. It wasn't a cherim till you made it a cherim. So our Mishnah says that the word cherim can be replaced with a lesser word. So we're going to have like cherek, cherech, cheref, all these other words that we're going to see in a later Mishnah to replace the word cherem. Ushvuos k'shvuos, and all substitute words for shvuos are just as effective as the basic term for shvuos. Unaziris k'naziris, and all substitute words for naziris are just as effective as the basic word for naziris. So the Mishnah talks about a partial neder. What if a person didn't say the whole formula of a neder, but said enough to make it clear what he intended? Homer l'chaveru mudarni mimach. You say to your friend, I am mudar from you. Mufrashni mimach, or I am separated from you. Meruchakni mimcha, I'm distanced from you. She'ini ochalach, she'ini toim lach. And after you say one of those phrases, you say, in that, I will not eat that which is yours. I will not taste that which is yours. So I am mudarni mimach, shalo ochalach. Something like that. So aser, so then the other person's food is aser to him, because even though it's not a full statement, it's still considered to be a neder. Why is it not a full statement? Because it does not say that a lashon of iser, meaning that which is yours is usher to me, nor is there any tfisa, any linking with something. It doesn't say that which is yours is like a carbon to me, but nevertheless we treat it like a complete neder. This is what we refer to as a yad l'nedarim, because just like a yad is a handle, and just like you can control a kli by holding on to its handle, so too you can affect a neder by saying something that's only part of the neder. Menuda ani. If someone says, I am menuda from you, and he added that I'm not going to eat that which is yours, Rabbi Akiva would be chochich, which means he'd rub his lips together and not actually say whether it's a kosher neder or not, but he made a gesture that implied that he wanted to be machmir and to suggest that it is in fact a valid neder. So he wasn't completely sure, but he was more noted to say that the word mendunda can mean detached, which is an expression of a neder. Tanakama doesn't include menuda on his list of words that would imply a neder, because he thinks menuda just means not detached, it means cherim, it means a type of excommunication. So now the Mishnah tells us the halacha, where a person added the phrase kenidrei rishaim to a nazirus. So kenidrei rishaim, if a person says kenidrei rishaim, I am hereby a nazir. Kenidrei Rishayim, I am going to bring a carbon. Something like that. Kenidrei Rishayim, I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread. So not the benazir, but carbon of Shavua. So if he has, the halacha is that counts as a neder to be a nazir, to bring a carbon, or to not eat that loaf of bread. Meaning, the fact that he started with the words Kenidrei Rishayim has zero impact on the statement. He said that just to, highlight the fact that Rishayim are the types of people that take Nedarim. So, Kenidrei Kesherim, but if he starts with the phrase Kenidrei Kesherim, I'm going to be a Nazir, I'm going to bring carbon, or I'm going to not eat this loaf of bread, lo amaklum, then it's not a binding Nedar at all, because Kesherim do not take Nedarim and Shavuos, and therefore, when he says Kenidrei Sherim, it was his way of preempting by saying that I am hereby not taking a neder. Kinidvosam, but if he says that it's like the nidavos of ksherim, so then nadar b'nazir b'karban. So then we assume that it is a valid acceptance to be a nazir or to bring a karban, but not a valid acceptance of a shavua. Because when a kosher person accepts upon himself to be a nazir, to bring a karban, that is a nidava, not a neder. So this person said like the nidavos of ksherim, he has in fact accepted upon himself to be a nazir or to bring a carbon. But his shavua, like the nedarim of ksherim, I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread, that's not valid because a kosher person never makes a shavua. That's just not something that kosher people do. Meaning it's important to know the difference between neder and nedava. We might as well say it now at the beginning of this masechta. There are two ways that a person could promise to bring a carbon. There's that which is neder or nedarim, that I'm obligating myself to bring a carbon, where I'm obligating myself to set aside an animal and to use that as a carbon. And then there's nedava, where I point to a particular animal and I say, this animal is hereby a carbon. Nafkamina would be, what happens if that animal gets lost? So if it's a neder, you have to replace it because the obligation is on the gavra. If it's a nedava, you don't have to replace it because the whole commitment was on the cheftza. It was on that particular animal. So let's quickly review what we learned today. Today was a long shiur. I apologize about that. So we learned in the last mishnah Maseches Ksubos that anyone can force other family members, other household members, to move to Eretz Yisrael or to move to Yerushalayim. If a wife doesn't want to go, she'll lose her ksuba, and the husband could divorce her. If the husband doesn't want to go, he has to give her a get, and he has to pay. He has to pay her ksuba, and then we discussed what kind of currency you pay the ksuba with when you got married in one place and divorced in another place. So if you got married and divorced in Eretz Yisrael, you pay with Eretz Yisrael currency. If you got married and divorced in Kaputkia, you pay with Kaputkia currency. Question is, what if you got married in Kaputkia and divorced in Eretz Yisrael, or vice versa? So we had a machlokas tanaim, which essentially boiled down to whether ksubas d'oraisa or ksubas d'rabbanan. Then in the first mishnah Maseches Nedarim, we said that kinuye nedarim count just as much as nedarim, and the same is true for charamim and shavuos and nezirus. And if a person says mudarni mimcha, mufrashim mimcha, murchakni mimcha, I'm not going to any toim lach, any ochel lach, so all of that is valid, even though he didn't say a full lashon of neder. When you say menuda ani loch, so we're not sure if menuda is actually lashon of neder. That was a suffix that Rabbi Akiva had. Then we had the Mishnah said that if a person says like the nidre rishayim, so the neder that he takes subsequently, or the nazirus that he accepts, the carbon that he accepts, whatever it may be, is a valid acceptance because that's what rishayim do. They take all sorts of nidarim. But when he says kinidre ksheirim, that is, it preempts and undoes any possible commitment he's going to make afterwards. When he says kinidvosam, then it is a valid nazirus or a karban, just not a valid shavua when you say kinidvosam. Okay, so Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with nidarim, Perek Aleph, Mishnayos, Beis, and Gimel.